my everyday 8 months of everything that I enjoyed eating or drinking was cut out. Went for my next test, my levels went down.
We obsess about a lot of things. We go to the extremes, don't we?
And I remember saying to him, do I need to cut out booze? He's like, have a couple of beers, enjoy them, but don't go mad.
Welcome to the mailbag, this week's episode of the Male Fertility Podcast. Yeah, we've got an interesting question this week, and it is, how do you optimize your lifestyle without being obsessive? Now, I think this is it's a really interesting question because so many people, I definitely experienced it. Like, it's easy to get sucked into that. I need to try and control everything that I'm doing to optimize my fertility health. When I, my own personal experience, I found that in itself very stressful and had a detrimental effect on my overall well-being, not just my fertility health. It's an interesting question, and I've definitely got my views on it, and coaching clients and things, there's a certain way that I go about it. So yeah, what are your thoughts initially, buddy?
You hit the nail on the head when you said, so you try and do so much stuff that it ends up becoming stressful, and which in itself is detrimental. Stress being cortisol is elevated for an extended period of time, that can go into the realms of chronic stress, which has impacts on so much of our health anyway. And there are like some suggestions that chronic stress can have an impact on fertility as well. I haven't got any studies to quote here or anything, but it's stress over an extended period of time is not good for anything. So I don't think it's a stretch to probably come to the conclusion that it's not going to be great for
No.
your fertility health either, but it's just not good for anything, like your relationship and stuff. And that obsession, I was the same. Everyone is, because you think, right, I take my testosterone, for example. So I have gone through fertility stuff. My levels were low, the low end of normal, the best I've ever known them to be, because I'd never tested before for that. And now it's all over social media and stuff, like at home blood kits and people like services offering TRT, et cetera. It wasn't like that when I was going through this in 2017, 2018. So went for those initial blood panels that you get after an adverse semen analysis, and it showed that my testosterone was the lower end of normal. For a 34-year-old at the time, it was very low, essentially, for where it should be. And after my micro TZ, it like crashed. And I was then aware that TRT is a lifelong commitment. I didn't really want to go on it. I wanted to try and get back to and optimize my lifestyle, get back to somewhere towards normal. And I lived this like completely TRT, testosterone friendly lifestyle for 8 months. Like literally, it was consuming the inside of our kitchen cupboard. I had all of these printouts sellotaped in there for every food and where it ranked on the glycemic index. Because basically, testosterone, like if to live a, it's all about like, it's a hormone. So blood sugar levels can, they drag your hormones up and down.
Yeah,
They
they
are.
really affect them, don't they?
Yeah, I was trying to live this, a low GI diet. And I had to learn it because I didn't know. And it's all, it was even to the small details, like for example, with sweet potato, we go, okay, that's a healthy alternative to potato, to white potato, which like has more sugar in it. But if you're cooking it in certain ways, like if you're baking it, then it just sends the sugar through the roof anyway. So I was like, oh, I have to. And then I did it for 8 months. It was my everyday 8 months of everything that I enjoyed eating or drinking was cut out. How I changed my all of my exercise, because, and don't get me wrong, it was the right thing to do because I'm talking about something life changing, like going on TRT. But I did it, went for my next test, and my levels went down. And I was so crushed because I had been obsessive and I had gone probably too far when, there's balance to be had. And I think I've said this to a few times. My urologist that I used, who had on the podcast, Oliver Wiseman, I remember speaking to him when I was at some point during my treatment under him, a specialist. And I remember saying to him, do I need to cut out booze? And he said, look, of course, alcohol isn't, no one's going to tell you alcohol doesn't impact sperm. That's not the case. is, but what it, the stress it might cause you in trying to just abstain from it and cut it out completely, is have a couple of beers, enjoy them, but don't go mad. Don't make it a habit. If you're going to have a couple, just make sure that it's, that's it. And like you said, just make sure you savor them, because then put it behind you. And then I remember that was just such good advice. And we, on the same token, we had Mel Brown, didn't we, on series two, one of the leading fertility nutritionists. And she said, she gives people these diet plans and stuff. She's like, if you're going to have a burger, just make sure you bloody enjoy it.
It's true, though. It is true. We live in a world where we obsess about a lot of things. We go to the extremes, don't we?
Yeah.
When I was younger, I didn't just go out for a beer. I went out the extreme. And as you get older, you need to rein it in, pull that back. But when it came to my own fertility health, like initially when I was told in that consultation room of, you need to do this and this, or you need to start looking at this, like exercise, diet, sleep patterns, de-stress, alcohol consumption, supplements, that list just kept going on. And I found it, even with my background, my degree in sports science, it was so much. And that in itself, that just that general conversation resulted in me burying my head, which was the wrong thing to do. And then obviously that escalated onto other things for me. But it's I started to make progress when I realized that I had to take small steps to make big adjustments. And that's something that if anyone is feeling overwhelmed or pressured into making the changes they feel they need to to optimize their health for their fertility, my first port of call with any client I sit with or anyone I speak to on the topic is, right, what's the first thing that you feel would make the biggest difference? And what I ask people to do is to write down five things that they think they need to look at, and then prioritize in those. And then you gradually make changes. So for example, for me, the easiest thing was changing my exercise routine, because I love to exercise. I had to find the love again, because that works. Then I looked at diet. And then I looked at stress in terms of my sleep. And then then we looked at alcohol. And then it was only then that I started looking at supplementation for things, because I felt like, what can I control? And then over a 5 month period, it took 5 months, but I introduced things gradually. So it didn't become obsessive. I didn't feel like I'd made so many changes in my life that it was completely out of control. I got going with something I loved. I actually, thinking about it now, going back, we actually changed diet first. We changed diet first because that's what I felt I needed to, because I was exercising. And then we looked at exercise as a couple. And then I looked at sleep. Then I looked at alcohol. But it was slowly doing things so I didn't feel overstressed and overwhelmed, because it is so overwhelming.
It's a sad fact of fertility treatment in general is that it does go over such a long time span. And so unfortunately, time is on your side, but not in the way you'd want it to be.
Yeah.
But you do have that extended period to make those gradual changes. It's like any, like these fad diets you see, no carbs before marbs or whatever. Like people will crash diet and have those quick results, but they're not sustainable. People bounce back in a big way. And it's like anything, you make changes that are sustainable in the long term. And that's what will see you better off. And it's like I wasn't really exercising when we went into this, when we found out about our diagnosis. I wasn't unfit, but I would go to the gym a few times a month. It wasn't like a routine.
Yeah.
But then it changed me and made me like exercise more to try and do control the controllables and all that. That stuck now. It's a huge part of my life and routine now because of how it made me feel mentally, actually. And you see the physical changes, of course, but I'm never hard on myself. Like this week, we were chatting just before we started recording. I've managed to train every day this week, all five of the weekdays.
Mm.
It feels great. But next week, you might only be two or three, and that's fine. because it's just some weeks I have the capacity to, energy, I've had sleep, I haven't traveled for work or whatever, but I don't beat myself up if it's only been 2 days, because I know then it averages out over time.
At the Male Fertility Podcast, we know how powerful the right support can be, which is why we've partnered with Fertility Family to share input. And nutrition matters when it comes to fertility. But let's be honest, maintaining a perfectly balanced diet for conception is incredibly hard. Choosing a supplement can be just as confusing, especially when many multivitamins contain strong antioxidants that can actually harm sperm quality. Impril is different. It's made from activated micronutrients that support every cell in the body, from the largest, the egg, to the smallest, the sperm. These nutrients have been clinically shown to significantly improve live birth rates in men and women who have previously been struggling to conceive. Impril is different. It's made using activated micronutrients that support every cell in the body, from the largest, the egg, to the smallest, the sperm. These nutrients have been clinically shown to significantly improve live birth rates in men and women who have previously struggled to conceive. What we like is that behind the science at Fertility Family are real stories from real people. To find out more, visit www.fertilityfamily.co.uk. And if you decide it's right for you, our listeners get 10% off using the code MFPOD10. That's MFPOD10. Now, back to the episode.
Yeah, definitely. That's another really important conversation, isn't it? The realization of life. Life does get in the way. There are things that happen, but it's the consistency. It's making sure that if you are planning to train 3 times a week, majority of the time you get three sessions in a week. If one week you drop to 2, there's no concern. As a trainer, there would be no concern for me about that. It's the consistent. The next week we go back. In other weeks, people go, I've got 4 in this week. That's great. Don't overdo things, but great, we got another session in. Life is so busy. Life is so busy, even without fertility treatment. You have to be realistic about what you can succeed in and obtain at that moment in time, and sit down and really look at it, write it down. It's one of the most powerful things we've talked about, writing things down so many times. But if you've got to make changes, write down those 5 things that you feel you want to change, or that you've heard can make the best impact for you, because everyone's different. There's no point writing alcohol down if you don't drink alcohol anyway. What's for you? And prioritize them, and then think about how you can put them in sensibly and in a controlled manner. Yeah. And then that's how you don't become overwhelmed and don't become obsessive. You make it part of your lifestyle, not a program that you're on to have a specific outcome. Yeah. You've touched something really good there. Like, you started exercising and you found the benefits far outweighed the fertility side of things. So you carried on because it made you feel good.
Yeah.
That's what all these little changes should be. You and me have had these open conversations, mate, about how there's certainly things that I don't do anymore because I've learned that I feel better off them. But my fertility journey prompted me to on that journey itself. Does that make sense? Stop drinking alcohol and other things. I might not have done that unless I've been through my fertility journey. But I realized how good that made me feel, and it's become part of my life, that's the key. That's what you want. You want to create a life. It is a lifestyle change. It's not a program that you're going on for a while. You have to think, what's realistic for me? What do I want to achieve out of this? And once you start thinking along those lines, things become less obsessive and more, this is how I'm going to live my life. And this is a conscious decision I'm making for a reason.
Yeah. Ed Milet, who's like this, I don't know what you call him, like mindset person. But I heard him say something on a podcast years ago when I was going through my fertility stuff, and it really stuck with me. He said, it's like turning up a thermostat. If you turn up your thermostat like hugely straight away, then it's going to take a while to get up there anyway.
Yeah.
If you turn up a little bit, And you have, you said, think of your life as having all these different dials. Each one's a thermostat for different things like diet, lifestyle, sleep, relationships, blah, blah, blah. So you turn up the thermostat by 1 degree in all of those. And then you have your internal, like your master thermostat that goes up anyway over time. And that all compounds to just improve everything. And it's not about whacking each one up to the max, because someone might open a door or a window and it lets a bit out the other end. It's just doing it, being kind to yourself, not trying to overdo it. Like we said, which would just put more pressure and stress on things, becoming obsessive. If you find yourself, like, for whatever the phrase is, falling off the wagon or whatever, just don't beat yourself up. Just make sure it doesn't bleed into the second day.
Yeah, that's an important thing. It's really important to say. Especially around alcohol, I found it very difficult. And I quite often fell off the wagon and then I beat myself up for a while. But these things happen. You just learn from it, move on. We're not living in the past, are we? We're all moving forward. So if you make a mistake, learn from it, move on.
Yeah.
And gradually you'll create a lifestyle that suits your needs. And the objective is to create such a lifestyle that continues past your fertility treatment.
Yeah.
You feel comfortable with. And as you get older as an individual, you're living a healthy life and you can maintain that. A positive lifestyle, healthy lifestyle, all the research shows that if you live a healthy lifestyle, you'll live longer. So you're not just doing this for fertility health. This is longevity. That helped me a lot when I changed that mindset as well. Because otherwise the pressure effect of it's got to work for this reason can be difficult in itself and cause oxidative stress and cause worse results. And you don't think about beyond that. Think about beyond your treatment. What do you want to be like in 10 years' time? And start working towards that. But obviously, initially, it's with the mindset of fertility health. It takes time. It takes time to build that and that comfort with that and acceptance of, I fancy a beer. It's okay to have one. Yeah. That was my advice. Make it really clear on maybe the path where you want to optimize your health. Choose a few things. Build them slowly. And accept it won't be perfect, but you're making the right choices.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Nice and simple, man. Nice and simple. I wish sometimes it was that easy to execute, because it isn't. You just got to learn from your experiences and just keep going. Yeah. And as I learned, it took me 10 years to get off the booze, like completely. Mm. And I'm thankful for it now. A small change in my life, but it all stemmed from my fertility treatment.
Yeah.
It's good, man. But obviously, if people want a little bit more support or guidance for it, please, you can reach out directly to me, which is on Instagram is themalefertilityPT, or you can send me an email at themalefertilitypt@gmail.com. Always get back to you, give you some guidance on the fact. All we want to do is help people, make them feel comfortable in this very stressful situation and experience.
Yeah, just that, exactly that. Perfect. And always happy to answer these questions and just, explore it a little bit. Talk about what worked for us, what didn't. And so please do send over your questions, all the usual channels. Yeah, Kieran's just giving you his there. That's just as good as any other. Yeah.
Yep. And as always, send us a message at the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. It makes our day, doesn't it, mate? It really does.
Yeah.
On that note, I guess we'll see everyone on the next one. Thanks for listening. If this episode has helped you, do us a quick favor and leave us a review. You don't even have to use your real name. Every single review helps another man find this show when he needs it the most. It's honestly the best way you can help the next guy. If you've got a question or something you'd like us to talk about in the mailbag, please drop us an email at themalefertilitypodcast@gmail.com. We read every message that comes through. And if you'd like a bit more guidance and support from other men on the same journey as you, you're welcome to join our free private community at nexusfertility.com. It's totally confidential and designed just for you by men who get it. For the latest updates, follow us on social media at the Male Fertility Podcast. Remember, you're not alone.